Father, in Jesus' precious name, we just thank you, Lord, for being so good to us and for blessing this nation with peace and prosperity. We know, Lord, that we don't really have the faith that our founding fathers had. And so we're still being blessed based upon their faith. So I pray, Lord, that you would use this tough, horrible situation. We know that you're a God who works all things for the good of believers. And so I pray, Lord, that you would work this for good, not only for the church in America, but also for America as a nation, that you would call us back to you. That you would cause us to see that as great as our nation is, that is not where our ultimate trust should lie. The idea that the United States of America is never going to be an unsafe place to live is just a lie. Ultimately, our faith has to be in you, Lord. And the day will come, it may be in our lifetimes, it may be in the next generation, the generation after that, but eventually America will not be a safe place to live. And so I pray that right now, Lord, our trust would ultimately be in you, acknowledging that true safety, eternal protection, eternal security only comes from you. And that no matter what man does to us here on earth, we always have you as our place of refuge, our place of shelter, our place of comfort. So we thank you, Lord, for being a good God, and we pray that you use this situation to bring all Americans to you, to strengthen the church within America. Pray that you comfort the families of lost, of their loved ones that died, and that you help the rescue workers, and that you help both our government leaders and our people keep a clear head over this issue and do what must be done, but not to overreact. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, as you know, as I stated, we're going to take a little break today from our study in the end times because of what occurred on Tuesday. And so I titled today's message, Terrorism, How Should America Respond? Let me say a couple things about this. We have all kinds of experts that have been interviewed this past week. And you can look at some of our politicians who are never, ever for war. Some of our politicians who actually backed terrorist-type people coming to power. And now all of a sudden, because it's popular, they become hawks. And they're saying, yeah, we got to go get them. The Hillary Clintons and all these liberal politicians that all of a sudden are talking tough. And then we have some of the politicians that were talking tough before who are still talking tough, and they should be talking tough, but there's still some concerns that I have in the political arena. But with all these experts that they talk to, now for the first time in a long time, they're starting to talk to some quote-unquote religious or Christian experts, and I think that is good. We need to look at current situations through the lenses of the Scriptures and ask ourselves, what saith the Lord? Okay, and so that's what I want to do today. I think it's my responsibility as a pastor, Eric and John's responsibilities as elders, all of our responsibilities as Christians to inform others and to help them to interpret the goings-on, the things that are occurring right now, to interpret them through the light of Scripture. And so, terrorism, how should America respond? I came up with 11 different points, and then I wanted specifically, I'll close with specifically the church's response. But let's take a look at this. Terrorism, how should America respond? Number one, the first thing we need to do, okay, is to care for the sick, the suffering, and the dead. You know, James chapter 1 and verse 27 reads as follows. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So our first concern ought to be for the sick, the suffering, the dead, and praying for the families and helping out the families in any way that we can. So I would recommend, you know, yes, you've got to continue to support your local church and to support other charities that you're supporting. But if you can dig a little deeper and send some money towards New York, that would be great. We need to support them. In another way I thought of, too, you know, everybody's having to put American flags up. That's a great thing. We need patriotism right now. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later because we need intelligent patriotism, not uninformed patriotism. We got a lot of guys that are chanting, USA, 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 and I'm right with them. And those guys love this country. But don't applaud if our president and our leaders surrender more of the American government sovereignty to the United Nations through this. That's not pro-USA. Pro-USA and pro-UN are contradictory. Okay, they're mutually exclusive. And so, but whatever the case, the American flags are good. I saw at the King's West retreat, a girl was wearing an I Love New York shirt. And she said that she had bought it before this stuff occurred. You know, if you got a shirt like that and you want to wear it around a couple days, I think that would show a little bit of support for the things that are going on out there. Okay, but we need to care for the sick, the suffering, and the dead. And that goes even beyond just this event. I mean, we need to do that kind of thing just because we're Christians 365 days a year. We also need to comfort those who lost loved ones. You can have a loved one that you lost 30, 40 years ago and still not fully recover. And so I'm not talking about comfort those who lost loved ones for the next week. I'm talking about coming alongside. We got people in this state, right here in Washington State, that were talking with their loved ones on their cell phones as they were on planes hijacked, and they were telling their loved ones that we're going to die, you know. And so we have people right here in Washington State. Romans 12, verse 15, Paul says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And Paul's talking in the context of the Christian church, but this applies also to those outside the church. Okay? If a person's rejoicing for godly reasons, rejoice with them. If they're weeping and they've got good reason to weep, we've got to come alongside them and weep with them and care enough for them. It could have been any one of us. What is terrorism, by the way? Terrorism is the use of violence, okay? The use of violence to inspire or promote terror, fear, in the hearts of innocent people, all in the attempt to bring about the terrorist goals, to further their goals. So if they have some political agenda and America disagrees with it, these guys are parts of governments and are parts of countries that are just not big enough to lock horns with the U.S. of A. So they're not going to try to roll in tanks. They're not going to bring in their ships. They don't have the guts to do that. And they're smart enough to know that they don't have what it takes to lock horns with the U.S. of A, as weakened as we are through the Carter and the Clinton administrations. They don't have the guts to do it. This is not the big bully pushing people around. This is the little weasel who doesn't have the guts to do that, so he hides in a tree and shoots BBs at you. Okay? But they're harder to find. But whatever the case, we need to care for the sick, the suffering, and the dead, and comfort those who lost loved ones. Now, the next 2 points is going to sound like I'm quoting President Bush almost. Okay? But it's only because he's pretty much paraphrasing what Ronald Reagan said in the early 80s. 1987, I wrote a book, and you'll see points 3 and 4 in there in different words. Okay? Point 3, America needs to identify and execute retribution. Needs to identify and administer retribution on the terrorist organization and its leadership that was responsible for this atrocity. You know, Romans 13, 1 to 4. Let me say this, okay? We just don't get this right. Even Christians in this country don't understand. Romans 12 and Romans 13, okay? We got guys in this church, Todd, Eric, Kurt, Rory, that have enough biblical training. Oh, that the chapter breaks in most of the books of the Bible, you know, with the exception of something like Psalms or Proverbs. Chapter breaks were not there originally. Romans was a letter with no breaks in it from Paul to the Roman church. Okay? So he's talking the same context in Romans 12 and 13. That's a man-made break. Romans 12, we're told, look, individual Christians, don't seek vengeance. What he's basically saying is turn the other cheek. Don't seek vengeance. Overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Then you get to Romans 13. Look at the first four verses. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God, a servant of God, to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Let's say something right now that I hope everybody in this church will understand, okay? We are the church. We are the church. We should be the church. Don't try to force the government to do our job. The same God who instituted us, the church, for reasons of spreading compassion and love and charity and most of all the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, to shelter the homeless, to feed the hungry, he's the same God who also instituted the government, but not for those purposes. He instituted the government. We see basically what he's saying in chapter 12, Christian, it's not your job, it's not the church's job to avenge the evildoer. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But one of the reasons why God instituted human government, he delegated some of that vengeance, some of that wrath to human government to make life easier for law-abiding citizens. And so the government is doing its job when it goes out and gets the bad guy. Now, if our government decides to start targeting innocent civilians, we'll be stooping to the same level as these cowards from across the sea, okay? But if our government says we will get the bad guys and any bad governments that back them, the government is doing its job. When Archbishop Raymond Hunhausen used to be right out of Seattle, when he used to argue that for every nuclear warhead that we build, every nuclear missile that we build, we could house X amount of homeless people, and he was arguing we got to take that money from the government. The guy didn't know what he was talking about, okay? Here, a man educated in theology and doesn't even know what he's told, what the Bible is saying. It's the government's job right now in this day and age to build nuclear warheads and to build a lot more than your enemy's got. It's also the government's job, by the way, to build a nuclear defense system, i.e. like the Star Wars program, so if we get targeted in the First Reich, we can protect our people. But it's the government's job to build nuclear weapons. It's the church's job to shelter the homeless. Government doesn't do very good when it does that. When a hungry man needs a dollar, the church gets him a dollar. When the government takes a dollar from you in taxation, that hungry guy gets a nickel. Okay, because it goes through a bunch of paper pushers. And then sometimes when they give that nickel, they give it to a guy who's not helpless, just a guy who's lazy. Now, if it's our hard-earned money, we're not going to give it up unless the person really needs it. And we usually buy the people food rather than give them money so they don't go out and buy cigarettes or some booze or whatever. The government doesn't work that way. You got people selling food stamps so you can go buy their dope. All that taxpayers' expenses. You got the government throwing out money all over the place so that a lady in Mexico who's pregnant, cross the border illegally, come into America, have her baby born in an American hospital at American taxpayers' expenses, because contrary to what Hillary Clinton says, no hospital will turn a sick person away, whether they have insurance or not. So she'll have a baby in an American hospital, makes the baby an American citizen, move back to Mexico, and we mail welfare checks across the border, taxpayers' money, paying for that baby throughout that baby's youth, because that's an American citizen. So the government doesn't know what it's doing when it comes to that. But the church needs to be the church, but we have to allow the government to be the government. I was very impressed with Billy Graham's son when he was interviewed on Fox Network. And he basically stated, yes, you know, we need to care for the sick and blah, blah, blah. But he basically said the government needs to go out and get these guys and get them quick. And the newscaster was kind of surprised to hear that from a man in a cloth. Well, all Franklin Graham was saying was government needs to do its job. Its God-ordained job is spelled out in the scriptures. And the only reason why it surprised the reporter when he heard that is because most preachers in America don't know a hill of beans about what God has instituted the government for. But we need to identify and to bring down wrath upon the terrorist organization and its leadership that was responsible for this atrocity. It looks like it's this Osama bin Laden is the guy we're talking about here primarily. And he has a worldwide network, and we have probably still have dozens of his guys walking free in this country right now. By the way, if the President of the United States did not suspend flights, okay, God only knows how many places would have been hit. We know that there were at least two terrorists on a plane leaving Newark and en route for Texas, and they were forced to stop in St. Louis. And then they took an Amtrak train and argued the whole way, probably wondering if they should have just done their hit earlier. And so that caused a little bit of, brought a little attention to themselves, and then they were later arrested. Now they're being interrogated right now. But whatever the case, God only knows what would have happened. But this bin Laden guy, we've got to get him. If he is the guy, and it looks like he is, we've got to get him, and we've got to get as many of his people as possible, whether they're in the States or all over the world. Our intelligence community, he came out on June 23rd saying that he was going to declare war on America and do this kind of thing. We have been watching people, some of his people that we know have some type of association with him in the United States during that time, but somehow our special services did not get the guy. Now, hopefully it was because of mistakes and flaws, and quite possibly because of the handcuffing of our intelligence that was done to it during the Carter administration that we've never fully recovered from. But whatever the case, but I'll tell you, though, Bill O'Reilly was interviewing Newt Gingrich, and his first question was, he said, you can't tell me, with the best intelligence in the world, you can't tell me we didn't see this stuff coming down. And Newt Gingrich said, look, Bill, this is not the time for pointing fingers. This is the time to find the bad guys and go and get them. We need to unite. And Bill O'Reilly was, yeah, you're right, Newt, you're right. And it's like, whoa, hold on. If we're going to get the bad guys, let's make sure we get all the bad guys. Okay? So in other words, we should not have a blind trust in government and assume that our government will never do the wrong thing. Okay? We need to check out the FBI and the CIA as well as the bad guys from over there. Now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that if they could have prevented this, they would have. But I only think that because I haven't investigated. No one's investigated that. We need to investigate everybody when we do something like this. Everybody who is a possible suspect. And this idea that never look at, you know, it'd be like saying, look, Nero said the Christians started the fire in Rome. And he's the government, and we trust the government. So Nero wouldn't start the fire on his own, would he? Well, duh, he did. And the history is filled with governments doing that. But we've got this idea. Robert talks about there's going to be people, there are people right now making a run on the stores and stuff like that. And, you know, preparing for a rainy day. That we should prepare for a rainy day. We are the most prosperous nation on earth. We're the only nation on earth that our people don't prepare for a rainy day because we assume there's never going to be a rainy day because we live in America. As if there's a verse in the Bible, I will always prosper America from this day forth and forevermore. And it's not there. That verse is not in the Bible. So we got to get these terrorists, okay? Let the government get them. Cheer when the government gets them, okay? It's just like when the government executed Ted Bundy and all these serial murderers. These are cold-blooded murderers murdering innocent human beings. And we should just cheer that justice is done. When we get them, we don't need to try these guys. We're probably going to catch a few of them and bring them over for trial anyway. But we really don't need to try them because this terrorism is an act of war. I argued that in my 1987 book, The Decay of a Nation, The Need for National Revival, and it still stands. It is an act of war. And as an act of war, you know, you don't sit in a foxhole in World War II and some guy fires a round over your head and then say, boy, we got to take that guy to court. That's not the way wars are fought, okay? Okay, number four. Based on the same verses, we have to also identify and punish governments, not just the terrorists, but governments that encourage, fund, and or shelter terrorists who perform acts of terrorism against Americans. Okay, let me repeat that. Identify and punish governments that encourage, fund, and or shelter terrorists who perform acts of terrorism against Americans. I did not believe that we belonged in the Persian Gulf War because I really didn't believe that American interests were at stake. Okay, everybody says, oh, well, the Arabs and oil, we need that oil and blah, blah. No, we got all the oil we needed in Alaska. And the only reason why our politicians don't let us tap into all of this oil in Alaska is because for some reason they want us to be dependent on our enemies and other nations. But believe me, God prospered America so much we don't need anybody else. That's how blessed we are. But as long as we pay our farmers to not farm and our oil site owners to not dig for oil, you know, and force ourselves to be dependent on our enemies, things are just going to get worse. As of right now, it seems like the Afghanistan government is supporting these guys. It looks like we're going to take them out. And again, oh, by the way, civilians will die. This always happens, and there's two reasons. Number one, we're not the United States government, if we start targeting civilians, I am opposed to it. But if we target military sites, and it could be a direct or an indirect military site, for instance, Bangor would definitely be a military site if somebody was targeting here. Okay? But Tacoma Narrows Bridge and the Hood Canal Bridge might be indirect military targets if there are important enough military shipments that go through there. Okay? So even when you hit military targets, there's going to be civilians working at those military targets or traveling there or visiting there, whatever, they may get hit. There's going to be mistakes. Sometimes our guys are going to aim at one thing, miss the military factory and possibly hit an orphanage next door. But we just cannot target them at all. The other thing is when government leaders do not respect the life of human beings, that includes their own people. So we will see a target, okay, a $5 million building that was obviously built for military purposes in Iraq, and we target it and we blow it up. And then we find out we killed like over 100 orphans. That, my friend, is not our fault. As sad as that is, that's Saddam Hussein's fault. See, you don't build a $5 million building for orphans when you can do it for $500,000, probably a lot less than that. The reason why that was a $5 million building or whatever, they padded it, they had extra thick walls, it was built for military purposes. But Saddam Hussein wanted us to look bad. You empty out the military components and you move in the little orphans so he can try to make America look bad. Expect that from some of these governments that support. They're going to try to make us look bad. Don't fall for the lies there, okay? Muammar Gaddafi had some terrorist hits on American civilians around the globe. Ronald Reagan went through several years to prove that he was behind them, and then we gave Tripoli 11 minutes of hell. We took one of the cities in Tripoli that had four or five terrorist training camps, and Ronald Reagan leveled them all to the ground. Wasn't our fault that now we had. Do you know it's against the law for us to assassinate a cold-blooded murdering ruler of another nation? We've made that against the law. When even a Christian preacher like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, even he recognized that, and he and his brother attempted to assassinate Adolf Hitler. I mean, just like killing Goliath. Sometimes the ungodly guy's got to go. And so sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We handcuff ourselves and make it tougher. Now, you know, Rory and I years ago were saying, look, we shouldn't be over there in the Persian Gulf, but since we're there, if we want to remove the problem, Saddam Hussein is the problem. We're not done till he's gone. But there's some evidence that Saddam Hussein is behind this, too. The guy who authored a book, an expert that authored a book on Osama bin Laden, argues that Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Syria, and a few other countries are the ones that are primarily supporting bin Laden's actions. And lo and behold, the nations that are supporting him are the ones that are befriending us more than anybody else because they don't want to get hit. But hey, if we're going to trace this back, it gets ugly. If you're going to really trace this back, it gets very ugly. And I don't think we're going to trace it back all the way. If you trace it back all the way, Russia and China will be targeted. I don't think America is even willing to go that route. But basically, and then who's financing Russia and China? Some of the targets are our pseudo friends. So I don't think we're going to ever trace it all the way back. Okay. But whatever the case, we need to identify and punish the governments that encourage, fund, or shelter these terrorists who perform these terrorist acts against America. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, I've heard people saying, well, this is probably due to the fact that we back Israel, therefore we should stop backing Israel. That is not the smart thing to do. Even if you're not a Christian. You know, everybody said, don't mess with the U.S. Yeah, well, that's... sounds a little bit scary, but don't mess with Israel, okay? You might look on paper and say, well, we're Russia, we're China, we're real big, we're real strong, and we can take on Israel. Just factor in one more Jew, okay? Factor in the Jew who's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Factor in the carpenter from Nazareth. Factor in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all of a sudden... the balance shifts, okay? And you go from being a 25-1 favorite to infinite to one underdog, okay? You don't mess with Israel. And right now, to be honest with you, Israel is the only thing close to a friend that Israel has right now is America, okay? And you might be thinking, boy, Israel is lucky. No, we're lucky. We're lucky. It's like Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. The fact that we semi-back Israel might be the only reason why God hasn't allowed us to be wiped off the face of the earth right now. Okay? We know better. We were founded on biblical principles, and the disgusting things that we do in this country, the blasphemy, the immorality, the idolatry, the intolerance for true Christianity that occurs in this country, the abortion, slaughtering unborn babies before they're born. The only thing keeping us from judgment might be the fact that we back Israel. In Genesis 12, 1-3, this is the Abrahamic covenant. God, it says this, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." That's the nation of Israel. "And I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Because salvation will come from Israel through Jesus, and through Israel peace will come to mankind for 1,000 years when Jesus reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the earth for 1,000 years. But it's interesting there, it says, "I will bless those who bless you and curse the one who curses you." The Egyptian Pharaoh messed with Israel. Kaboom, the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea. Need I say more? Okay? The Babylonians messed with Israel. They were taken over by the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and Persians messed with Israel. They were taken over by the Greeks. The Greeks messed with Israel. They were taken over by the Romans. The Romans messed with Israel. Eventually, the Roman Empire caved in. Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, they looked like they were going to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth, and they were going to rule the world. You know, in 1940, that's the way it looked. By 1948, Third Reich is history, and the Jews get their nation back. They hadn't owned the land for 2,500 years. This is Nebuchadnezzar, and the Babylonians knocked them off in 586 B.C., okay? Stalin slaughtered 20 million Jews. Stalin's gone. Supposedly the Soviet Union has crumbled. I'm still waiting to see on that. But whatever the case, you don't mess with Israel. Does that mean that we should support Israel, right or wrong? No. But we should always be their ally, and if we think they're wrong, tell them. But it doesn't seem like Israel's ever going to be as wrong as the other nations of this earth. The other nations of this earth are so far out there, okay? We need to continue to back Israel. The worst thing we could possibly do is that which the terrorists want us to do. And that would mean turn our backs on Israel and then turn America into a military state where we just remove all freedom. I mean, we cannot give in to the enemy. Okay? If there's ever a case when that statement, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, where that statement should be reemphasized, it's today. Okay? Don't let these words, okay, bring within you, produce within you the fear that they want. Okay? We should not, don't be afraid to go outside today. Okay? It is not that bad, and it does not have to be that bad. Some government officials might pretend it's that bad. We might be afraid and think it's that bad, but it's not that bad. Okay? We can get this thing. Let me tell you, Muammar Gaddafi, since Ronald Reagan bombed him in, what was it, 1985, I think it was on my first anniversary, me and Kathy's first anniversary, when he bombed Libya for 11 minutes, we never heard from Muammar Gaddafi again. He has been a puppy dog concerning America for 16 years. We can spank, if we trace it back to the governments and devastate those governments and let them know we're for real, We can put these guys on a shelf. And granted, I agree there will be other terrorists out there, but we could shut these guys up and put them in their place. Okay? U.S. of A. can get it done. Okay? Remember, who saw the 4,000 Palestinians that were cheering in the streets of Jerusalem when this happened? Let me say this. Number one, they don't speak for all Palestinians. Do not, because somebody's Arab, I've got Arab friends who are Christians, some who are Christians, some who are not Christians, some of the nicest people on earth, and Nobody but nobody better mess with them. Some of them live in this area. Okay? Some of the most loving people on the planet. Those 4,000 Palestinians, okay, on the streets of Jerusalem that were fearing these terrorist hits and the loss of innocent life in America, they do not speak for the Palestinian people. I will say that, number one. But number two, I thank God that there were not 4,000 New Yorkers in Jerusalem when the 4,000 Palestinians were cheering at them, okay? Americans are made of a different mold here, okay? We've had the taste of freedom. We're willing to die for what we know is right, okay? Granted, my generation is a lot wimpier than the World War II generation, okay? And probably the generation coming after me is probably wimpier than even my generation was. You know, growing up on TV and computers and stuff, and rather than steak and potatoes. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you want to lock horns with us. You know, I think one of the planes, the evidence is pretty clear that one of the planes crashed in Pittsburgh because a guy from Jersey and two other guys locked horns with the terrorists. Once they found out that the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers had been blown up, they decided, the guy was on a phone conversation with his wife and said, okay, we're going to go get them now. They knew they were going to die. It's like, well, we'll die alone. We're not going to take out the White House in the process. So these terrorists aren't that big and aren't that bad. If they were, they wouldn't be doing the sneaky terrorist type thing. We got to continue to back Israel. Okay, number six, the American people should not overreact. We should not overreact. Don't surrender your freedoms. That's what the terrorists want. That's what some power-hungry people in our government probably want. That's what power-hungry people in the United Nations want. Okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. I would feel much safer if trustworthy and well-trained people who are armed would be on planes and maybe have two bulletproof rooms and so that they could see people entering. They would unlock the one room and the stewardess can come into that room and they could see if terrorists are behind them. And then once that door is closed, then you let them into the next room. I would feel much safer with that. But it would be nice if we could do that in a private sector, okay? It's probably going to end up happening is, you know, probably going to end up with armed U.S. Marshals on airplanes and that type of thing. Anything the private sector could do on its own, it would probably be better off just doing it on our own that way. But it's going to get to the point, you know, where the government's going to be suggesting an armed ATF agent in every house so they can do a pat-down search when you go from your bathroom to your bedroom. And most Americans are going to say, wow, I really feel safe. You know? Yeah. Yeah, see, there's a difference. There is a clear difference between law enforcement in the streets of in the streets of America, local law enforcement agencies, and military doing it. And there are some emergencies where the military's got to get involved, but if the military becomes the law enforcement, then we might as well have been invaded. We'll have thought police walking our streets, okay? The military set up to get the other nations who try to mess with us, okay? Law enforcement is set up for American on American crime. There's a big difference, and we're starting to blur that distinction. Okay, we're starting to get, federal government's getting more and more control over local agencies, and we could turn our police departments into the Gestapo. But we should not surrender our freedoms. Genesis 1:27, we were created in God's image. And if our founding fathers, because of this, said all men are created equal and given inalienable rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, now let me say this, though. Our founding fathers understood that the only way that we could be free would be if our people are responsible enough to handle freedom. I am not sure that that's still the case today. In other words, if we're responsible enough to handle freedom, if we exercise the right to bear arms, okay, and protect ourselves, then we don't need police forces with 200 cops roaming the streets. And even when we have those huge police forces, by the way, they still only get there in time to break out the chalk and draw a circle around your body and maybe prevent the next murder. To be a free people means we have to be a people who are educated, who really know what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights stand for, what the Declaration of Independence is about. We've got to exercise our rights, our right to bear arms and stuff like that. But I'll be honest with you, you know, I look at myself, I am so influenced by this society, I'm not sure I can handle freedom. If we really want to be free, there's a lot of things we're not going to be able to ask the government for anymore. And we like those little handouts from the government in this area and that area. But if we want to be free, it takes a lot of responsibility. That's why Ben Franklin said, the lady asked, what kind of government did you give us after the Constitutional Convention? And he said, a constitutional republic if you can keep it. He's saying you got to be responsible enough to keep our government officials in check and to keep our freedom. John Adams said that our Constitution was made for a religious people. In other words, if we lose our Christianity, our laws don't work. Because it assumes that most Americans are law-abiding and God-respecting, God-fearing individuals. And when most of our people don't fall in that category, you need cops roaming the streets. Okay? I mean, when you look at the L.A. riots after the Rodney King trial, that shows that, you know, we got a large segment of the population that really need, you know, when we have people who will riot and loot and attack innocent people because they don't like one court decision and they take it out on innocent people, what does that tell you? And so we really need to be more responsible if we're going to keep our freedom. Number seven, not only should the American people not overreact, but the American government should not overreact. In other words, the American government should not take excessive control over the lives of its citizens. Genesis 9:6, right after the flood, God's basically saying, look, plant life isn't going, the environment's going to change because of the flood. Plant life isn't going to be enough to get you through today. You need more energy. You can start killing animals and eating animals. But then after saying that, God says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Okay? You see, there God is instituting human government to execute those who take innocent human lives. Okay? But the whole idea is the reason why God instituted human government is not to ignore the sanctity of human life and human rights, but to protect those rights and those lives. Okay? So if the government overreacts and starts taking excessive control, it starts treating us as subhumans. And that is not biblical. Okay? You know, you look at like the welfare system and stuff, the only way the government can take away the possibility of our failing is to also take away the possibility of our succeeding. Okay? So, you know, government's just got to give us the freedom to fail if we're lazy enough to fail. And for people who just can't make it because of physical ailments or this or that, that's where the church is supposed to come in. Okay, number eight. This is an important point here. As are the rest of them. This event does not have to mean the creation of a new world. I have heard that, I am up to here with that. I have heard that over and over and over and over again throughout this week. Guys coming on saying, this is a new world, we have to face it. This is not the same world that it was on Monday. What are you talking about? This kind of stuff has been going on throughout history. And it's big, and it's bad, and it's ugly, and we got to deal with it. But just because it has come to America now, all of a sudden this is a new world. One came out a liberal, Combs, on the Hannity and Combs program, and said, let's face it, the day has come where we need a new coalition, a new world order, if you will. So he even went further than saying a new world. And the Republican guy didn't even argue with him. He just nodded his approval. This event does not mean the creation of a new world. Okay? We do not need an international body to fight terrorism. Let me say, cooperation with other nations is okay. If England wants to give us some information, great. If Israel, I told guys at work, the president should have been on the phone with Israel as soon as this came down, and he probably was. They give us whatever info you have. Let's share notes on Bin Laden. Let's find this guy. Give us some advice. We'll try to keep your role in this out of the public's eyes so that you guys don't get hit on this. Okay? But we do need to cooperate with other nations. That's fine. But surrendering United States sovereignty is not acceptable. The Persian Gulf War, okay? Persian Gulf War, the biggest damage that came out of the Persian Gulf War is the fact that we won it in the name of the United Nations. We furthered the cause of the United Nations. If we really thought American interests were involved, then fly the stars and stripes, do it in the name of America. Let's not use our military for purposes of public relations for the UN. Okay? I agree with Congressman Ron Paul that we should get the United States out of the United Nations. It's bad news. 80% of the time when the U.S. disagreed with the old Soviet Union, 80% of the time the nations of the U.N. backed.